stand up for religiousfreedom.com. Let your voice be heard.
At Advanced Dentistry Center, they don't expect to hear things like,
"I love going to the dentist."
But as one patient put it, Dr. Matty makes going to the dentist an okay thing. He also makes it affordable with exams and x-rays for just $29. And that's not a limited or first-time offer. It's all the time. Discover the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Your smile deserves a call to 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Self-esteem. Yeah, I just found out, and typically the lines are pretty full on this program, and I'm feeling pretty fluffed up about myself. Like, hey, all these people want to talk to me. And then I find out that my producer, Andrew Kruchek, has been calling people. You're supposed to call here. We are not supposed to chase you. He calls them and says, "You want to be on the show?" And then he offers him a fruit basket or something like that. Now, I know he means well, but I can take it, Andrew. I can take it if there's nobody on the line there, and all I hear is... I can do it. That's exactly right. It's right. Well, just in case you want to call us, we don't have to call you. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call to get onto the program. The question becomes, why do I want to call? And that's a question I've asked myself. Why do you want to call? I am grateful, but you can why? Here's some whys. A perplexing situation. Something you'd like to get a little thought on from somebody else. A faith question. A question about just general life options. How do I look for a therapist? Is hypnosis against the church? Does age regression hypnosis really work? That kind of thing. And if you wish to offer help to someone else, a lot of you do. And I suspect you do that because you figure I fell short. You had to flesh out my advice. I don't mind that. That doesn't bother me, except when it's my wife who calls and says, add this to Dr. Ray's advice. It was a little slipshod. 877-573-7825. Now, speaking of self-esteem, I was wondering, what if our Lord went up to Simon Peter and said something to the effect of, "Well, you know, Simon, I was toying with changing your name to Peter," which means rock, "but I realize, you being a grown man, you pretty much have solidified your self-image with your name. At this point in your life, I wouldn't want you to have to revamp your whole image of yourself as a rock. I mean, you're used to being Simon. And who knows the reverberating ill effects on your self-esteem if I go change your name?" I suppose we could wonder if our Lord missed the self-image courses in synagogue. This article from the Examiner, the WashingtonExaminer.com, by a guy named Gregory Kane. I'm going to quote him because he says it really well. "Finally, proponents of the self-esteem school of educating have admitted what the rest of us have known all along. that self-esteem is a racket. This from a story in the Sunday edition of the Washington Post. Quote, teachers trying to curb empty praise. For decades, the prevailing wisdom in education was that high self-esteem would lead to high achievement. The theory led to an avalanche of daily affirmations, award ceremonies, and attendance certificates, but few, if any, academic gains. End quote. When I was in school, starting off a lot more sentences sounding like my dad, we had three girls who had 4.0 averages in my senior class. I think we had almost 400 kids in my senior class. Three girls had 4.0s. That was it. The next was a 3.85. I'm not going to tell you who that is. I won't mention any name. Now, you go into a standard high school in 4.0. Oh, well, I mean, we've got 226 kids with 4.0s. We've got a lot of 4.7s and 4.8s and 4.9s. Part of the reason for that, of course, is that we don't want to make kids feel bad by giving them bad grades. We don't want to make it hard because then they'll get frustrated and they'll feel bad. And you go into an elementary school and there's little flowers on the bulletin board with the names on it. And I'm special because there's no one else like me. And I often wondered, well, maybe, what if you're obnoxious? Do you really want anybody else like you? Anyway, the research is overwhelming on self-esteem. You can't hand it to a kid. This is a great quote from a shrink in this article. Stanford University psychologist Carol Dweck said in the Washington Post story, quote, we used to think we could hand children self-esteem on a platter. That has backfired. Now, the columnist Kane says this to close his column. I have only one question for Dweck. Where does she get this we stuff? When I was in the sixth grade, my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Elgis, used to grade our papers with, and for those of you who have young children, near the radio, please cover their ears. This might be something beyond their ability to cope with. She graded our papers. I'm so reluctant to say this. Okay, brace yourself. With a red pen. My papers looked like they had been in some kind of street brawl when Mrs. Elgis gave back to me on the side margins, awk, A-W-K, which meant awkward, you know, sentence structure, awkward, awk, see me. God bless you, Mrs. Elgis, because you wanted me to be able to write. You didn't want me to think I was a wonderful writer, if in fact I stunk. Reality would tell me I stunk because I counted the number of red hash marks. There were more red hash marks on my papers than there were my own letters. Published my first book in my early 30s. Thank you, Mrs. Elgis. Thank you for loving me enough not to mollycoddle me, to basically say, Ray, this isn't good. Take it back. You can do better than this. I was back before the days. I don't remember when I was in the sixth grade having any flowers up on the bulletin board saying I'm a wonderful human being. Our self-image came from accomplishments, from abilities, from hard work, from social relations. Self-image was a byproduct. If you felt pretty good about yourself and you felt pretty good about life, well, that came from the way you conducted yourself, the way you treated other people, how hard you worked. You didn't get it just because I declared I'm smart. 2 plus 2 is 5. Don't tell me it's 4. Could bother my self-esteem. Don't correct my spelling. That's the way I want to spell it. They did a study, survey, of guys in prison. One of the prevailing axioms of the whole monstrous self-esteem movement, which just colored everything, was that guys in prison committed crimes because they had poor self-images, poor self-esteem. Now, it used to be, back when we thought things through, maybe with a little less expert color to it, that we said, well, they weren't socialized. They weren't moralized. The vast majority of them did not grow up with fathers. No. No, it's self-esteem. And what the researchers found was that, in fact, many of the guys had too much self-esteem. They thought too highly of themselves. It was disproportionate to the way they actually conducted themselves. And one of the conclusions of the article was they need a little more guilt rather than self-esteem. When my kids were in Little League, especially the little ones, well, first of all, you can never strike out. You're not allowed to strike out. So they're just going to keep pitching until you hit the ball. What's the count? 22 and 12. For those of you who are not ball savvy, it's 22 strikes and 12 balls. Full count in normal baseball is 3-2. I struck out, except when I walked, every single time I played ball in the third grade. Every single time. One time I got hit. The ball hit me on my belt. And I was so excited because I got to go to first. And I remember thinking, all right, I can take that. Those guys don't throw that hard. Let it hit me. I'll get on first base. I never played much ball after that, mostly sandlot. But when I was in my adult years, I got into softball and I worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. Played very competitively. But I didn't turn around and bemoan the fact that I struck out every time up. Now, the kids, they don't even keep score. Not allowed to keep score. Doesn't matter. That's what the grown-ups think, okay? Going everybody to be happy. We're all winners here. And you know who knows what the score is? The kids. They know what the score is. I want to quote a couple more lines from this guy, and then I'll head to a break. My ninth grade English teacher, Calvin Scott, would tell us almost daily, "You're not ready." Ms. Holmes, my eighth grade algebra teacher, would chide those trifling students who didn't bother to do homework. Other teachers warned us that if we didn't get it together academically, we'd have to learn what we were trying to teach us in summer school. That was all before self-esteem crowd came along. Teachers like Mr. Scott, who challenged students to be better than they were, and Ms. Holmes, who held her students to high academic standards, were now persona non grata. The new thinking went something like this: don't give students bad grades. It might harm their self-esteem. Don't chide them when they're wrong or step out of line. That's not good for their self-esteem either. A student who hasn't mastered the work at one grade level, why pass him or her on to the next grade to boost her self-esteem? Look, you guys don't have to think I have self-esteem here. It's okay. I appreciate it. I'm just glad to be here. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Number. Call. Dr. A. Be back.
You're listening to the doctor. Come in. Pull up a couch. Let's talk. The doctor is in.
Living your faith. This is Peggy Stanton with a message from the Order of Malta. a 900-year-old worldwide lay order of Catholic men and women dedicated to taking care of the sick and the poor. How do they care for the sick and the poor, you ask? Many ways. Recently, the Order of Malta came to the rescue of Haitians after their devastating earthquake. Dr. Peter Kelly, a Knight of Malta, is the president of Sacre Coeur Hospital, which the Order founded in Haiti many years ago. He talks about the Order's wonderful volunteers. And I quote, "The more than 1,200 volunteers continue to provide excellent care to our patients. They pay their own travel expenses and take time from work, resulting in lost income. The smiles of joy on our patients' faces as our volunteers develop personal relationships with them brought tears to our eyes." He pleaded, "Please keep us in your prayers." Please visit our website, www.maltausa.org. Thank you.
Our economists believe conditions are improving and that worthwhile investment opportunities could be plentiful. Now could be a great time to consider the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. These pro-life, pro-family mutual funds have a strong track record. Ask your financial advisor about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds or call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274 or visit AveMariaFunds.com to learn more. Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
I am not comfortable with psychobabble. I can't go with that. So don't let me hear where you're coming from. I'm okay, you're okay. But your kid could be obnoxious. 877-573-7825. Mike is calling from Ontario, Canada. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Dr. Ray, I actually spoke with you a couple months back, probably just before the winter. My wife and I have been having some difficulties coming to an agreement on the hot topics, I'll call them, of homosexual sex and certain types of abortion, we'll call it. I'm against all of it, and my wife is the very exact opposite side of things, digging her heels in. And I've been praying, going to adoration, and it's not that I'm impatient, but she's not budging. And I really don't know where to go because she's, again, what was happening before, I guess I'll call it threatening with divorce and basically telling me that there's no way it can work because at our present stage in our marriage, we have been considering, well, wanting to have children, but now she's dug her heels in and says that she doesn't want to have children if I'm going to teach them those things, that homosexual sex is wrong and
does
that abortion is wrong.
Does she not like your Catholic faith?
Well, she considers herself Catholic, even with those views, and says she has her own personal personal relationship with God. But I don't think she does like it. She thinks Catholicism is too strict, and I've been working out my faith.
You know, when someone says they have their own personal relationship with God, that's code word for I meet God on my terms.
Yeah.
Mm. How long have you been married?
I know. Coming up on 2 years. Well, a year and a half, we'll call it.
Did you not know these differences when you dated her?
Well, I'll tell you, Dr. A, I didn't have nearly the faith. Really, I had no faith when we first got married. Marriage to me was more of a tradition than anything, and the Lord has blessed me with an unmovable faith. There's no way I'll ever go back, and I did not have it when we got married.
So she thinks you got weird on her.
Absolutely, exactly. She has said multiple times, if not 100, she wants the man back that she married.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's give her the man back that she married. However, what that means is you don't sacrifice who you are in your deepest held moral beliefs. However, in every other way, you become the loving, fun-loving, good guy that she says she remembered. All right? She's probably seeing you as a little too hyper-religious, a little bit too much Catholic stuff going on here. What are you reading now? Another Catholic apologetic book?
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you keep that stuff on a low profile. Right now it's very threatening to her. Every time she sees you sneaking off to Mass on Thursday morning, ticks her off. So what you might have to do is to back off on the obvious expression of your faith. Yeah, you can do the good things. You pray your rosary quietly in the car when she's not there. Or if you're going to go to adoration, you stop by for a few minutes or however amount of time you can have. But you don't have to tell her about it.
Mm-hmm.
Get back to being a good, loving guy, maybe even a better guy than you were. Treat her good. Treat her with love. That's the only way you're going to win her over. You're not going to win her over by saying, okay, you know, here's the new morals I've got. This is truth. And this is it. And you better accept it, because that'll just create friction and conflicts. If she's going to come around, she's going to come around because she loves who you are and who you've become. And if she sees you as quote-unquote a moral policeman, you're in big trouble. And you don't want to sacrifice a marriage because you've become too religious too fast. You can be every bit as religious, but you might have to be a little lower profile with her.
I think that's it. And I guess maybe the second, just quick part of that's leading up to this, I think I know the answer already, but enough is never enough, right? Like, I should never give up on this.
No.
I mean, not on my faith, but on us.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for that. You don't say, okay, I got religion, therefore I'm going to divorce my wife. Well, that just is a non sequitur here.
Like, yeah, that's...
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm just scared that, because she's mentioned it so many times, I'm just afraid one day...
Will you tell her, I don't want a divorce. I don't want a divorce. And I'm going to be the man that you married, only better. And I'm going to show you. Because she needs to see that your Catholic faith makes you a much warmer, loving, giving guy. Okay? Just even if it's getting up in the morning, say, honey, you want me to get you some coffee? I'm going out. I'll come back. I'll bring a cup of coffee. Just... those kinds of things that she sees you being considerate and thoughtful and mannerly and kind, so that she'll say, well, you know, the new guy he's become isn't all bad. There's some good parts to this. All right? And as far as these debates over the moral issues, you know as well as I do, Mike, it's gotten ugly every time you've gotten into it. So if you're going to talk about it, you need to not try to convince her. What you need to do is understand how she thinks. Ask her questions. For example, on the abortion. Well, okay, then if a baby is being born and they're crushing its skull, how do you see that? I mean, what do you think that is? Well, you know, he's not really born. He's not really a person yet. Okay, what is he then? You're just gently trying to get her to think through. Don't argue with her. Don't say, how can you say that's not a person? How can you say that?
I was just going to ask if you heard our conversation before. But.
Yeah. So those are just some thoughts, Mike. Hang strong. This is Dr. Ray. Let's see where we're going here. Understand? Perla, I think I'm pronouncing that right, from Dallas, Texas. Hi, Perla. How are you? This is Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I'm blessed.
Oh,
How are you?
Thank you for calling, dear. How can we help you out?
I just have a quick question. What can I do to stop being afraid of evil spirits in the dark?
The easiest thing? Turn the light on. I'm being only half facetious here, dear. You know, some people don't like sleeping in the dark. Dark is eerie. Makes them unsettled. So, small light on can help you. You feel better about that. That's okay. You don't have to say, I'm not a six-year-old little girl who has to have a little light on. Well, no, if it'll help you be settled, that's okay. Put a little light on. All right, that's first thing. At a more spiritual level, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I take it?
Yes, sir, and that's what gets me into this evil spirit frightening set, because I go to daily mass, I do my rosary daily, I go to the Holy Sacrament and adore him daily.
Then what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of the evil spirit.
They're not bothering you, are they?
Well, yes. On Saturday, I couldn't go to sleep. I was up until 5:30.
You couldn't go to sleep? Why? There was nobody bothering you. Your head was bothering you, right?
Yes. And
now, it wasn't the evil spirits, my dear. It was Perla. You wait right there, honey. I'm going to take a hard break right here. We'll come back and talk some more, see if I can pull my thoughts together, give you some kind of decent idea anyway. This is Dr. A, 877-573-7825. I've got one line open. When usually someone hangs up, there's a line available. Plus, always what happens is folks calling cell phones, and the cell phones drop. So you never knew. You never, ever knew when you tried to call and it was busy. But we're going to get call waiting. I want Andrew to do that. Andrew, call waiting. Fax waiting, too.
Jesus, remember me.
Come to the foot of the cross in The Living Stations, the Broadway version of The Passion of Christ. Live at the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Detroit and endorsed by Archbishop Alan Vigneron.
I am fully confident that you, too, will find your attendance at this dramatic presentation of our Lord's Passion to be a blessing that enriches your faith and devotion to Christ's Paschal mystery. This experience of the Living Stations promises to draw countless people closer to Jesus, knowing his love more clearly, understanding his sacrifice more deeply, and becoming more ready to share the good news of his love with others.
Tickets on sale now at 800-585-3737 or at livingstations.org.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta, and over the past 15 years, we've worked together in building this broadcast apostolate, and that collaboration has really been paying off. We can now give listeners the most vital and appealing program schedule in Catholic radio today. We've gained recognition as a reliable source for religious journalism, cultural commentary, and practical Christ-centered help and guidance. But our biggest challenge is yet to come. We've been called to aid our bishops in a nationwide fight against the government effort that forces every Catholic hospital, university, parochial school, media outlet, and social service agency to pay for contraception and abortion-inducing drugs in clear violation of church teaching. We've been called to broadcast the case for freedom, and the voice of Catholic radio is now needed more than ever. So we need your help and your partnership. Our spring drive coming up April 9th through the 13th. That's the week after Easter. Join us. Help us by pledging your support. And together, we will make a difference.
Your mind. This is Dr. Ray Garendi. I am talking to Perla. She's from Dallas, Texas. Jesus is Dr. Ray. What can I do? Stop being afraid of the dark and of evil spirits. Now, when you call here, Perla, you there, dear?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. When anyone calls here, they know they're going to get profound
thoughts. Deep, deep ideas that the average rank amateur layperson can't think of. So when Perla said, what can I do to stop being afraid of the dark? I said, turn on the light. Now, I think that's pretty helpful. Now, there's a second level of light that we can talk about. And Perla says she loves her faith. She goes to Mass, she prays the rosary, she loves her faith. Well, Perla, that means you got another light here. An infinite light. Who basically says, when he is with you, you can be afraid of nothing. Nothing. I asked you if the spirits bother you, and you said, yes. But then you said, well, I think about it. So is it safe to say that it's not the spirits that bother you, it's your thinking about the spirits that bother you?
Yes.
Okay, dear. Well, that's better. That's better, because you've got a lot more control over your thinking. You recognize, I know, you know what's probably happening here, dear, is you've probably read some books about saints who have been tormented. You've probably seen some things, and you start to think to yourself, well, what if, you know, what if that happens to me? You know, there's an evil, evil spiritual world out there. What if they come after me, right?
Yes.
Okay. Recognize, dear, he who is within you, in the words of St. Paul, is basically stronger than the world. All right? You have our Lord. You have the Spirit. His Spirit of the Trinity. You're protected. All right? Now, you can certainly say prayers at any time you're afraid. You can pray to your guardian angel. You can say, Lord, calm my spirit. You can do all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure you've done it. That's why I hesitated to even say it, because I know you've done it. Right?
Yes.
Of course. You don't need me to say, okay, Perla, you need to say a prayer when you're scared. And you're thinking to yourself, I called for this. I like the advice, turn on the light better. But what I would say to you, dear, is you truly have to come to believe that the Lord will protect you. This is not going to happen, in all likelihood, not going to happen at all. And you have to believe that. See, right now you don't quite believe that yet. You're still thinking, but what if? What if those spirits decide to do evil to me? What if they play with my mind? Well, my dear, I guess you just got to believe that our Lord's good to his word. You're okay. You're protected. And if a little bit, all it takes for you to relax is to turn on a little light in there when it's dark and it's nighttime, go for it. It's okay. It's all right. I remember when I was a boy. Oh, my dad again. When I was a boy. I thought the devil lived in the furnace. So when I would go downstairs, and this is how I developed my speed, by the way, my mom would tell me to go downstairs and get some. I'd get it. And then I would have to turn the light on. We had a string light. I'd have to turn the light off as I went up the stairs, and it was dark. So I was so quick at getting up those stairs, because I thought the devil would chase me, that I pulled on the string, and I was up the stairs before the light even went out. That's how quick I was, faster than the speed of light. But I lived like that till, oh my, 12, 13. Anyway, so at some point I came to believe there's no devil in the furnace. I am the Lord's. I am not the devil's. And that calmed me. Now, you might be a few years behind that, but and I was never scared in the basement as long as the light was on. If the light wasn't on is when I got scared. There you go, sweetheart. I hope that gives you a little soothing anyway, okay?
All righty. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Okay, honey. Thanks. Yep. Now, I am a highly trained professional psychologist, and that dear woman, when she said, all righty. Now, I don't want to read too much into an all righty, but it sure seems to me
that she was saying, yeah, 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 Dr. Ray, I thought you could do better than this. I gave it my best shot. Mary from Michigan. Uh-huh, what it is. Hi, Mary, what you doing? Uh-huh, you know your call is coming in true. Uh-huh, I want to hear what you got to say. Okay, Mary, yeah, talk to me now.
You're sounding a little like Eminem.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm working on it.
Oh. Andrew
will not play Psycho Rap, the song that I wrote. I said, Andrew, play Psycho Rap. And he won't. Did you ever hear my Psycho Rap?
I have not, no.
Oh! Andrew, how fast could you cue it up? We'll go straight to break. We'll come back out of break with it. No, I just want a verse. I don't want the whole song. Just a verse so that Mary knows. Huh? He's setting it up. You set it up and then tell me in my earphone when you got it. Just okay, go.
Shrink wrap.
Dr. Ray, you're just great.
Ain't sharing no feelings, don't know where you're at. Can't hear what you're saying, just can't go with that. My inner child says he's stunned, uh-huh. My grown-up self says it's a no-brainer, duh. Psycho rap, ain't doing no babble, just can't go with that. Psycho rap, you hear what I'm saying? This ain't no shrink trap. Super ego is unconscious for sure.
All right, Mary, you got a taste of that there, dear?
I did, yes, you're pretty good.
Well, thank you. I just wanted you to know I can relate to your question.
Well, good. We're having a hard time relating. Our son is just, he has been great. He just turned 14 and has just been a great kid to raise, and we're a very close family. He homeschools, but he wants to go to school for high school next year, so we're, you know, considering it. And the thing is, about a year ago, we didn't realize that through a friend, he started listening to Eminem and Lil Wayne, and he's just really... really attached to it, like he'll wear the hoodie and want to have his pants, you know, baggy, hanging down. And
I like Eminem. I like Eminem a lot. I like the chocolate ones with the peanuts, you know. Listen, you stay right there, Mary, because we're going to talk about what could be going on here with your son. Actually, though, Eminems, you get those red ones? The red ones are the good ones. If I go and speak engagement, people say, do you have any demands? I'll say, yeah. When M&M's cut in half with all the green ones removed. But I want a man. Dr. Ray. Yeah.
Stand with the church. Stand with the bishops. Stand with people of all faiths and oppose the HHS mandate as it unjustly limits the practice of religion. Plan to attend the Stand Up for Religious Freedom public rallies in over 80 cities across the United States. Friday, March 23rd, 12 noon. Find rally locations at standupforreligiousfreedom.com. Standupforreligiousfreedom.com. Let your voice be heard.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. On February 17th, Congress held hearings on the HHS mandate. Bishop Lori testified, and many others as well. I hope you heard about it in the commercial media. I wouldn't count on it, though. I've noticed, and you probably couldn't help noticing, how quickly the press coverage dropped off after the president gave them the opportunity to declare this over. Despite that fact, never before have I seen the American bishop so exercised about an issue. Every single bishop who heads a diocese has now spoken out against the mandate, and they need to know you support them. We're at an unprecedented time in American history, and what we can do is demonstrate an unprecedented response if you commit to it. Visit StopHHS.com and sign the petition. We now have over 50,000 signatures. If you've already signed, then commit right now to getting 10 others to sign the petition. Numbers are important. Let's make a thunderous statement to the President, Kathleen Sebelius, our lawmakers, and the press.
At Advanced Dentistry Center, they don't expect to hear things like,
I love going to the dentist!
But as one patient put it, Dr. Matty makes going to the dentist an okay thing. He also makes it affordable with exams and x-rays for just $29. And that's not a limited or first-time offer. It's all the time. Discover the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Your smile deserves a call to 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Can't hear what you're saying, just can't go with that. My inner child says he's stunned, uh-huh. My grown-up self says it's a no-brainer, duh. Psycho rap, ain't doing no babble, just can't go with that. Psycho rap, you hear what I'm saying? This ain't no shrink chat. Super ego is unconscious for sure. 40 in analysis, 6 grand or more. Head shrinking, mind blowing, brain lock, yes, hypnosis, neurosis, halitosis, uh-huh. Primal scream, fairy dream, bad scene, yeah. Kids a brat, made him sad, got a swat, yeah. Time out, tune in, listen up, yo. Don't blame me if your kid's on the spring show. Psycho rap, ain't doing no babble, just can't go with that. Psycho rap, you hear what I'm saying? This ain't no trick, chap. Pavlov dogs, that ring a bell? Repression, depression,
who can tell?
Psychology, neurology, pathology, what? Therapy, sympathy, apathy, gut. O-V-A-D-T-H-E-E. I know all the letters of the alphabet. C-E-N-S, I-R-S, E-I-E-I-O. There ain't no combinations I don't know. Psycho rap,
this is Dr. Rager in here. Mary, are you there, dear?
Yes, I am.
Now, I know you're thinking, Dr. Ray, what's your point? Well, my point is this. It's not so much the rap, because that was a rap. And you probably thought it was cute, right? And if your son said, Mom, I like Dr. Ray's rap. That's really cute. You mind if I listen to it? You wouldn't have any trouble. It's the content of the rap songs he's listening to, right?
Yes.
All right, now here's part of what threw you for a loop. You said, sweet kid, 14 years old, joy to raise, homeschooled. And then it seemed like, quote unquote, overnight, he wanted to head into this rather nastier peer culture expression, right? But then you said, you found out that it wasn't overnight. This has been going on for a year. What he was doing it beneath your radar. He realized, well, I'm not going to get myself in trouble, so I just want to let Mom know. I'll just do this on my own. And you finally caught him. Or he became more obvious about it, the pants and everything. A couple of things here, Mary. One, the culture is very appealingly seductive in the kinds of entertainment that it wants our children to latch onto. There's no question about that. And good percentages of children are just latching onto it. The fact that he is attracted to it, the fact that he wants to look like a certain segment of the peer culture, doesn't totally shock me. But what you're going to have to do is realize that this 14-year-old boy is not as innocent or trustworthy as you thought.
Mm-hmm. And we've come to realize.
There you go.
That, and it's almost like being on a roller coaster because I can see he's really struggling with this. He'll do something. He'll talk maybe disrespectfully to me, which he used to not do. But he'll do stuff that he hasn't, and you kind of expect it some, you know, as they get to be teenagers. But he'll come and he'll apologize. You
well,
know,
that's
he'll
good.
Get really mad about things. I'll ask him to do something. You know, he doesn't want to do it. He'll argue with me, and then, but then
so
I can see he's struggling.
Well, then that's good.
Yeah.
Because he knows he's got a conscience. It bothers him. Nevertheless, right now at age 14, his hormones are flowing, and he's torn between those two worlds. What you will have to do is, first of all, you don't let him wear his pants like that. You don't buy him pants like that. And if he's got them, get rid of them. That's the first thing. Will he still want to wear them? Yeah. Yeah, he probably will. That's okay. You're not going to give in to the habit. Many shrinks will say, well, that doesn't do you any good, Dr. Ray, because internally he still wants to wear those pants and he'll just get resentful and rebellious. Well, we parents need to keep our children from acting foolishly and getting pulled into habits that will sustain themselves. Two, you realize that this friend's house or wherever he went to in the last year foster this whole sense of, gee, I want to have street rap, I want to have gangster rap. Well, okay, you might want to have to reassess this friend. You might have to basically say, you know what, I can't trust him to go there anymore. There's no way. There's no way. I can't trust him to text this kid, email this kid, Facebook this kid. I can't. Because I found out now that my son is being pulled in a direction. Yeah, he may pull out of it in a year or two, but he might not. So as a mom, you're basically going to say, son, I know that you have gotten seduced by that stuff. So as your mom, and I hope your dad's right, and I hope his father's right beside you on this.
He is, yeah, good. We're both on the same
So both page. Of you basically say, son, we're not going to let you go down that path. It's not a good path. You may dislike us for it. You may be angry. But we're not going to let it happen. And I think that's where you got to make your stand. You got to realize, and I know underneath what you were saying, Mary, you're thinking he's a good kid, and he's so good in so many ways, and he serves the altar at church, and it's just, oh, people love him, and he's so pleasant. All that's true. But at this point, I don't know if he can pull himself out of this on his own, so you have got to basically shut that door. All right, my dear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, honey. I want to go to... If Esmeralda can do this quickly. Esmeralda from Oregon, can you do this quickly? You want to give words of encouragement to our first caller, Mike, who after 2 years of marriage had a great resurgence of his Catholic faith, and his wife is truly threatened by it to the point of threatening divorce. Esmeralda, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. What words of encouragement you got for Mike?
It's going to happen. Just everything that you said, follow through, do that, live his faith, and become that person. I'm living through it, and my husband is now coming. He went to a point where he didn't want anything to do with the church, even though he's very Catholic, didn't want to go to Mass, doesn't want to do anything, to now slowly coming into it and asking questions because I stopped talking
badgering.
To him about it.
That's right. You stopped badgering.
And so it's happening. It's true. That's it. It'll happen.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I would have known, Esmeralda, that you were going to get on this phone and confirm me, I'd put you on first. Bless you, dear.
I couldn't help it. I heard you, and I said, it's working. Yes, it's true.
Well, thank you. And it doesn't always work, but it's your best shot anyway. Thank you, sweetheart. Okay. Well, I got to take a break. When we come back, we have Vicki and Marcia, and we did lose some callers there. People get nervous toward the end of the program. You know, they figure, I'm not going to get on now. But remember this. Depends upon your call. Depends upon what the situation is. We don't take calls in the order that they call. We can't do that. There are too many other factors that have to be considered. So you always got a chance. 877-573. I'm not going to give you the other four numbers. I want you to work at it. If it's worth it to you, you'll figure them out.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
Old St. Patrick Catholic Church on Whitmore Lake Road in Ann Arbor has been serving fresh, beer-battered Alaskan pollock on Fridays in Lent for over 30 years. We know how to make delicious fish and chips. We'll tell you it's the best, but you don't have to take our word for it. Come on in and try it yourself. This year, we've added new fryers to ensure more of our delicious fish can be served hot and fresh, and to get that line that sometimes forms moving. We've also added macaroni and cheese to make our menu more kid-friendly. Come on by and bring your family and friends to this beautiful place in the country, just north of Ann Arbor. While you're there, you can stop by our beautiful historic church and spend some time worshiping the Lord, talking and listening to Him, or join us for Stations of the Cross later in the evening. Give us a call or visit our website at www.stpatrick-annarbor.com. You can find more information and directions at www.stpatrick-annarbor.com. And we'll save a plate for you.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Leonardo DeFilippis brings the scriptures alive in his one-man production of The Passion According to St. Luke, coming to Southeast Michigan. He'll be performing in a number of cities. To find out where, check out our online community calendar at avemariaradio.net. Archbishop Alan Vigneron will be celebrating the 13th annual Rose Mass Sunday, March 18th, at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. The Rose Mass invokes God's blessings on the entire medical community and especially Catholic healthcare professionals. Mass will be followed by a lecture. For further details, call 313-237-4678. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, avemariaradio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
thinking all biorhythms in sync aligned with Jupiter and Mars was aligned with Pluto until Pluto got the boot. Guess they just decided Pluto was a big rock. In some respects, some of the planets are big rocks. Others are big balls of gas, which describes some of our political landscape these days. Not this show. Oh, no. Giving you one credit hour of remedial psychological education. Marcia calling from Colorado Springs, where I just was a couple days ago. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Sorry I missed you here.
Well, there were a lot of people commenting. Of all the folks that should have been there, it was you.
Oh, okay.
I saw the petition.
Pardon?
I saw the petition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got myself into a situation that I kind of need some advice on. It's kind of weird. But my real close friend has asked me to accompany him to his granddaughter's, they call it exchange of vows ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is she's Protestant and he's a fallen away Catholic. And he has bipolar and schizophrenia, and he's on huge amounts of medications every month.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get married in the Catholic Church because the church won't allow it because he has a physical impediment caused by the medications and plus of his situation. And they couldn't get Protestant pastors to marry them. They were living together for a year and
so they just want to go have a civil exchange of vows.
Right, but what's happened is his parents are Catholic, and the mother wants to get him married off, and she went online and got a pastor's certificate so that she could perform the ceremony. And okay. I guess my question is, I want to support my friend, but am I committing a sin by going since Catholics are involved in this fiasco?
I don't know if you're committing a sin, but I guess my question would be if you could tell your friend, look, this really is kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm. Well, he already knows that he really disagrees with what's going on.
Okay, then I think he should hopefully be allowing you to follow your conscience and say, I just really don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to go witness that.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I think in these kinds of situations, this is always complex, and you have to decide, will it destroy the relationship? And it doesn't sound like you have any relationship at all with the people supposedly getting civilly married, so that's
no,
not
and
the
this
issue.
Friend of mine, we're not going to get married either.
Well, then forget it. You have no obligation other than to, quote-unquote, be nice to him.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Right. That, okay.
That, that's kind of a no-brainer.
Thank you.
All right, sweetie, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. We did. She was next. Hold on. Let me roll down her, Andrew. What was the situation with her name again? Oh, yeah. See, Vicky says she has a daughter with the devil telling her to do bad things in her head. Now, there's a couple of factors here that need to be figured out. One is, how old is the daughter? If this is a little girl who, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, who thinks she's hearing the devil in her head tell her to do things, conceivably, she could be hallucinating. Conceivably. I don't have any idea about that. But if you just go by the numbers, she's probably not. Which means that in her mind is telling her to do these things, and she's basically pinpointing the devil as the cause. Now, if that's the case, you've got to have mom essentially tell the daughter, no, honey, that is not the devil. The devil is not doing that to you. That is your own brain. That is your brain telling you to do these things. On the other hand, I was in a bass once. This was some years ago. And a woman looked to be 40-ish. After mass was over, if not, I can get you on Springer, was probably 30 feet behind this daughter, semi-panic-stricken, saying, oh, no, here it goes again. Oh, no, here it goes again. I was there. I saw the whole thing. I was levitating. Yeah, I was way up there. I was way up high. I could see it all underneath me. When I came down, I just stopped praying. As soon as I stopped praying, I came down. Got stopped praying slowly. You come down too fast. I went up to this woman and said, "Hey, are you hearing voices in your head?" "Yes, yes, yes, I am." "Tell them to stop." "Okay, they're not real. Those voices are not real. You don't have to pay attention to them." I don't. "No, you don't. It's all right. They're not going to hurt you." They're not. "No." Now, my question here is that, Lori, I'm not going to have time to get to you, dear. I know you called in. I wish you called in earlier. Call in first thing tomorrow because that's an interesting, very interesting scenario. I've only got like less than a minute here. Given that, the question becomes, is the daughter an adult? Now, if the daughter's an adult and she says she's hearing voices that she thinks are the devil, we are then dealing with a psychotic condition. We're dealing with something that basically needs medical attention. It is not unusual for people hallucinating to have a religious component to the hallucination, especially religious people who are hallucinating. Hallucinations tend to follow what our preoccupations and concerns are. So if you're a very, very religious person and you have a psychotic break, which is a neurological biochemical problem, you will hallucinate oftentimes along the lines of bad spirits, hearing the voices of your relatives having gone to heaven. Not unusual. So I would have to know the young lady's age on that. DrRay.com, my website. Thank you. Providence, Rhode Island. Diocesan Conference this Saturday. Heading out there. Keep the company. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Andrew, thank you. Andrew Krucek. Not my son, Andrew. Walk with God. Hold your kids tight by the hand. Or let them hold you by the hand.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Jesus, remember me.
Come to the foot of the cross in the Living Stations. The Broadway version of the Passion of Christ. Live at the Cathedral of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Detroit. And endorsed by Archbishop Alan Vigneron.
I am fully confident that you too will find your attendance at this dramatic presentation of our Lord's Passion to be a blessing that enriches your faith and devotion to Christ's Paschal Mystery. This experience of the Living Stations promises to draw countless people closer to Jesus, knowing His love more clearly, understanding His sacrifice more deeply, and becoming more ready to share the good news of His love with others.
Tickets on sale now at 800-585-3737 or at livingstations.org.
Stand with the church. Stand with the bishops. Stand with people of all faiths.